Starting here, the new parak at the top of Mem and Aleph, the Mishnah says, Yotzei Dofen, a baby that is born not through the birth canal, but rather through a cesarean section. Rashi describes that they had some sort of medicine that allowed them to open up the woman, take the baby out directly from the uterus, and then to have the woman heal afterwards. According to the Tanakhama, according to the Rabbanan, that is not classified as a leida that will generate yimei tuma and tara that are associated with the birth, as well as the fact that it will not obligate the woman in a korban, because this is not called a birth according to the definition of the Torah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, harizek yulot. This is a regular birth, and therefore the woman will have her days of tuma, her days of tara, as well as bichayevet in a korban. Kol nashim etamot beit achitzon. Women become tmeim tumat nida as soon as the damim moves from the uterus, b'bifnim to beit achitzon, to the outer chamber. The Gemara will discuss where that threshold is, but she does not have to have the siding exit the body in order for her to become tmeah, and that's based on the pasuk that's written by nida, which is v'isha ki tiyeh zavah dam yeh zovah biv sara. Biv sarah means internally. While it's still inside of her, she is tmeah. So it's inside of her, it's exited the uterus, but it's still inside the woman, and there she is tmeah. That is true of a woman. Aval azav o belkeri, when it comes to a man, when it comes to tumat zav, and tumat shechvat zera, ena mitamim ashetetzei tumatan luchutz. There it has to exit the body in order for the individual to become tmeah. Hayochel b'truma, individual, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, who was eating truma, Yerdish nizazua evirav, and he has a sensation that he's going to have a seminal emission. Ochez ba'ama, he holds on to the aver in order to prevent the shechvat zera from exiting. Obleyat the truma, finishes up the truma, and then only allows it to exit after that, because the truma will only come about once it's exited. So if he's able to prevent the exit, then that will help him complete the truma before he becomes tameh. Umitamim bekosho, all of these items, no matter how much, creates tum'ah, afilu gena chardal, even the size of a mustard seed, upachod mikdin, even less than that. So there is no minimum shear that one requires in order to be tameh in these instances. So Gemara wants to understand now the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon in regards to whether a cesarean section is classified as a leida or not. So I'm a Rabbi Mani Parpazish, maita mayu dirabanan. What's the reasoning behind the Rabbanan? I'm a kral, the pasuk says in Parshat Tazria, Isha ki tazriya ve'yalda zachar. So the beginning of the parsha is that a woman who conceives and then gives birth to a zachar. And she'teled b'makom she'im azret. The drasha that they have on the pasuk is that the leida has to come from the same way that she conceived. So it has to exit the birth canal the same way that she conceived, or the egg was fertilized, but through the birth canal. Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon do with that? Hai da filo yalda ela ke'en she'izriya imot me'a leida. This has to do with the limud that we saw earlier from Rabbi Shimon, who says that even if a woman expels a fetus that is liquid, it still creates tumat leida. How does he know that? Because it says, tikik tazriah v'yalda zachar. Even if the leida is similar to the hazra'ah, just like when she conceived, the insemination happened with a liquid, so too when she has the expulsion of the fetus, even if it's a liquid, it will be classified as a leida, and she will be tmeah tumat leida. So he has another limud from the pasuk that the Chachamim are using. And the Rabbana don't need that pasuk, because Rashi claims the Chachamim believe that rove of the fetuses ain't animikim, they don't dissolve, they don't become a liquid. And they already said that if we see a shulya in the house, that the house is tameh, because we assume the blood came out, so we know for certain that the Chachamim believe that that's the case. We only need the limud according to Rabbi Shimon. Although Tosfa does mention there are certain instances where the Rabbana would be mitam'ah, and therefore, they'll need the pasuk for those instances. He says, Tarte Shema Minah, they're able to learn both things from the pasuk. Rabbi Shimon, my time. So then what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's position? Rabbi Shlok, Shema Kra, Teled, the Rabot, Yotzei Dofen. By the pasuk, it says, Ki Tazriya V'Yalda Zachar. And then it begins, V'im Nekeva, V'Tamash V'Vayim Genidata. So you could have just read it that way, but the pasuk says, V'im Nekeva Teled. That Teled is extraneous, superfluous. And therefore, he learns from that extra word tele that there's another leida, another type of birth, which you are tmeya or chayevet a karbanin, and that will be a leida that it goes yotzei dofen and it comes out as a cesarean section. Rabbanan haimi baile, the rabot tumtum v'androgynous. They need that tele to include and tumtum and androgynous who are not definitively a zachar unikeva. The salkadatcha, I mean, I would have thought zachar unikeva that are mentioned in the pasuk. It says in the parsha of leida, zot torata yoleda le zachar unikeva. I would think zachar vadai, nekeva vadait. That's only if they are vadai, zachar vadai, nekeva. But if they are a safek because they are tumtum and androgynous, So then, that the Teilet includes this. We've spent more time on this early in the Masechta about whether you need a Pasuk to exclude Tumtum Vandrigonus or to include them, because if it's a Safek, Ein Safek Klapei Shmaya. So you have to either say that the Tumtum Androgynous that we're speaking about here is because they're classified as a Birya Bifnei Atzma, they're their own entity, not a Safek Zachar Nekeva. Or we have to say it's not a case of Tumtum where there can be a determination of Zachar Nekeva, rather an Androgynous who is a classification. Yes, we don't know if there's a Zachar Nekeva, but we'll never be able to determine that. And therefore, Tosafot early in the Masechta created a category that's not a Birya Bifnei Atzma, but yet the Safek is persistent, and since it's persistent, the Torah will address it. Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon learn out? Androgynous and Tumtum, Nafigalei, Minitani Bar Levi, because of the Limud from Bar Levi, the Tani Bar Levi, it says, Umimelot Yimei Tara Lebeinu Lebat, and then it says she brings her Korban. That Ven, the Ven, Mikol Makom, for a male, no matter what, the Vat, Levat mikol makom, for a female, no matter what. So it includes everything. So they have an additional limud from that. Rabbanon, what they're banan do with the ven levat? Ami bayle lechayev al kol ben uben ulechayev al kol bat bebat. That comes to teach you that for every leida, you have to bring a separate korban. If you have a boy and then another boy or girl and a boy or a girl and a girl, you have to bring separate korbanot for each leida. Rabbi Shimon nafkile miditani tana kameda rav sheshet. He learns that limud out from the limud that was brought in front of Sheshit, Zot Torata Yoledet. At the end, Zot Torata Yoledet, Lezachar Nekeva, Blameit, Shemevia Korban Achad, Al Vladot Harbe. Torata Yoledet sounds like you can bring one Korban on multiple births. Yochota Via Leida, Via Zivak Achad. I would think that she could bring it for Leida, as well as Zivash, which she also has to bring a Korban for, which is the end of Parshat Mitzorah. Now the Gemara interjects here in the middle of the Brayta and says, I don't understand that question. Elo Yoledet Achla Dam, Violedet Achla Chelev. A Yoledet who has to bring a korban, and she's also chayevet a chatat because she ate blood bishogeg, or she ate chelev bishogeg, b'char korban tisgila, she should be able to bring one korban. Why would you ever think that one korban should suffice with things that are not correlated at all? The leida and the ziva are two separate issues. Ella, you must say this is what the brayta means. V'yachol tavia leidash lifnei melot, v'adilei shalachar melot, keachat. I would have thought maybe you can bring one korban on multiple births. We just said that that was the case. But that might be only the case where they are born within the 80 days for a female, or 40 days for a zachar, which really can't happen. So it's within the 80 days of an ekeva, they have another birth. That'll be covered by a single korban. I would think that would include even post the 80 days. If she gives birth again, she'll be covered by one korban. Tamalomar zot. Zot is a miut. So in mayet from a single korban, multiple births that don't overlap in their yemei melot, in their time of the period after the leida, the 80 days. Whereas they will be okay from Torata Yoledet to bring a single korban for leidot that are included within those 80 days, that the next leida is within 80 days of the previous leida. So what are the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan have that limud from somewhere else. So what do they do with this limud over here? Afakav diktiv zot, even though we have the miut of zot, where Rabbi Shimon learns it from, itzrich, the ben ulabat. I still need the other limud of ben ubat that teaches me that there are separate korbanot. I would thought that that's only true where they bring separate korbanot if it's distinct pregnancies, if they are separate pregnancies. If it's a single pregnancy that has a gap between the births of the two babies, kagon, an example of that, this is something we saw earlier in the Masechta, Yehuda v'chizkiah b'nei Rabbi Chiya. Yehuda and Chizkiah, who were twins, one was born at the 7th month, and then the other one was carried until the 9th month, so they had a large gap between them, more than the 80 days post the first birth. Maybe, Eimar Achad Korban Sagila. Maybe it should be enough or sufficient to bring one Korban, because they're one pregnancy. Kamash Malon, that's not the case. Even in a case of a single pregnancy, she still has to bring separate Korbanot if the babies are born so far apart that there's no overlap in the second birth with the 80 days after the first birth. So that is the machloket in the beginning of the mission between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Chachamim believe that Yotzei Dofen, a cesarean section, a birth that does not come through the birth canal, is not classified as a Leida. They learn that out because of Isha Ki Tezriya V'Yalda Zachar, that the Leida has to be the same way that she became inseminated. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says because of the rebuy of the word Teleid, then he says that even another type of Leida, meaning a cesarean section, will be included and be classified as a Leida. Then the Gemara went through what each one does with the other one's limud, back and forth until we settled down how Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim deal with all the extraneous words or limudim in the psukim. Now Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, umode Rabbi Shimon be Kodoshim. Rabbi Shimon agrees by Kodoshim, she'eno kadosh, that a cesarean section, a leida that does not come through the birth canal, is not kadosh. My taima. Why is that true? Gamar leida, leida mi bechor. It learns a gzer shav of leida, leida from bechor. By kodoshim it says, shor o kesev o eiz ki yivaleid. And by bechor it says, asher yivaleid. So by bechor we know for certain it has to come through the birth canal because it says peterechem. It's not classified as a birth to be kadosh bi bechora unless it comes through the peterechem. So we'll have a gzeira shava from bechor to kodoshim through this word of leida. And because of that, we will say, just like by bechor, peterechem is classified as being kadosh. So too, by kodoshim, the only thing that can become kadosh is something that is born derech rechem, derech the birth canal. But if it's born through cesarean section, just like by bechor, it will not be kadosh. So too, by kodoshim, they will not be able to be mukdash legufan. Now, what Tosva points out is that in other places in Shas, we do have opinions of people who think that by kodoshim, a cesarean section does allow an animal to be kadosh. And the Gemara says that they subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. So Tosafot says that that means they subscribe to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, but not that Rabbi Shimon himself holds like that. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan's pointing out over here, that Rabbi Shimon distinguishes between the Leidav and Isha here, which is learnt out of the Psukim, versus the Leidav and Behema, which relates to Kodoshim. So where it says, Ma'atam Peterechem, just like by the Bechor, we require Peterechem. Afkan Peterechem, so too over here, by Kodoshim, we require Peterechem. Where it says, Ligamer Leida Leida Me'adam. Why don't we use the Gzer Shev of Leida over here by Kodashim and learn out Gzer Shev from the Leida that we just learned, Teleid, by humans? And if they're by humans, Yotzei Dofen works, why not by Kodashim? So Ma'atam Yotzei Dofen, Afgan Yotzei Dofen, just like by the Leida of Nisha. We say that a Yotzei Dofen is classified as Leida, say the same thing by Kodashim. Where it says, Mistavra, mi Bechor, Avelida Melef. Makes more sense to learn out of Bechor because Shekein Imo, Mi Imo. We have an additional Gzer Shev between Kodashim and Bechor, which is Imo. The word imo is used in both cases. By Bechor it says, Shivat Yamim Ye Im Imo. And by Kodoshim it says, Vayesh Shivat Yamim Tachat Imo. So I have another Gzer Shav of Imo Imo. That'll teach us that there's more correlation between Kodoshim and Bechor, because they have the Gzer Shav of Leida Leida, as well as the Gzer Shav of Imo Imo. By the Leida of Nisha, we only have the word Leida, and not another Gzer Shav that joins between them. Where it says, Adarabo, just the opposite. Adam Avelemele, if you should learn from a woman that's giving birth, Shekein Pashut Mi Pashut. There you're dealing with something that is not Kadosh. A woman who gives birth to humans that are not Kadosh. And so too, animals that are Chulin, that give birth to animals that are Chulin, they don't have to be Kadosh necessarily unless you're Makdish them. So therefore, there's a connection between them. Whereas Bechor is Kadosh Mi Rechem, something that's already inherently Kadosh. Mar says, no. Ela Bechor Mavele the Melef. No, maybe we should lean towards Bechor, Shekein, because these are the things that correlate between Bechor and Kodashim. Number one, aim, which we saw is Imo, Imo. Number two is that we're talking about Behemat Kodashim. Talking about an animal, and in Kodesh. That's true of Bechor, that's true of Behemat Kodashim. And they also have another correlation, which is they have these Surima, Pigul, Notar, and Tamei that apply to them. So here we have five items that correlate between Bechor and Kodashim. Gemara says, Adarabe Adam Avele Melef. We have a number of items that correlate between Kodashim and Adam. They are Shekein Pashut. Number one, which is what we saw before, Bechor only relates to the firstborn and is Kadosh Mirechem. Whereas here we're dealing with any birth, any human birth, as well as by Kodashim, any birth of an animal. Zachar, Bechor only applies to males. That's not true of Leida of Kodashim. It can apply to males and to females. Kadosh, by a human and by Kodashim, you have to actively makdish something. They are not Kadosh Mirechem. That's not true of Bechor. Bechor is automatically, inherently Kadosh from birth. Bimatana, a Bechor is one of the Matnot Kihuna. That's not true by Adam and by Kodashim. You can have Adam that is not Matnot Kihuna, a birth that is not a Bechor, and you can have by Kodashim, like Shlamim, which is in one of the Matnot Kihuna, belongs to the Baalim. Where it says, Anach Nefishin, the ones by Bechor and Kodashim, there are five that correlate between them. Whereas by Adam, there are only four that correlate. So since there are more commonalities between Kodashim and Bechor, we're going to learn Kodashim from Bechor and not learn it out from the Leida and Isha. So based on that, Rabbi Yochanan claims that Rabbi Shimon believes that even though a Leida by an Isha is classified as a Leida, even if it doesn't come through the birth canal, even if it's a cesarean section, nevertheless, when it comes to Kodashim, just like by Bechor, it's not classified as a birth, so too, by Kodashim, it will not be classified as a birth. We have a Braita that supports this position of Rabbi Yochanan. The remainder of today's daf, we're just going to deal with the Braita. And tomorrow, we'll deal with the proof. We'll mention what the proof is, and then the Gemara will continue tomorrow But the remainder of today's daf, and then into tomorrow's, first half of tomorrow's daf, is all addressing this issue of Rabbi Yochanan within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And here we have a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to which items, when they end up in the Mizbeach, do not have to be taken down. Now, obviously, we're not talking about things that are ksherim to go on the Mizbeach. We're talking about things that are psulim. But for whatever reason, they ended up on the Mizbeach. Is it a requirement to remove them from the Mizbeach, or can they remain on the Mizbeach? So Rabbi Yehuda gives one definition. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it says in the Pasuk, Zotara Ta'ula, Heola Alamokta. Rabbi Yehuda learns out of this Pasuk that there are a number of mi'utim in the Pasuk. Arielu Gimu mi'utim. Zot is a mi'ut, Ha'ula is a mi'ut, and he is a mi'ut. Now truthfully, the word Ha'ula appears twice here, so actually two mi'utim from Ha'ula, but the first Ha'ula is used by Rava and other places to teach us Ha'ula, Ola Rishona. That all the korbanot in the Mikdash have to be brought on the Korban Tamid Hashel Shachar, that the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim has to be the last Korban on the Mizbeach. So that already Ha'ula was taken out, and we use that as a limud. So there remain here three mi'utim. Those three mi'utim, Rabbi Yehuda comes to say, prat, comes to exclude the nishchata b'layla, if it was shechted at night, vishnishbach dama, or its blood was spilled, that's even after there was kabbalat dam inside of a cleave, the blood spilled, shiatza dama chutz l'klaim, or the dam was yotzei, it left the azara. In all these cases, if they were placed on the mizbeach, by accident the korban ended up on the mizbeach, tered, you bring them down. So Rabbi Yehuda says that these three instances, even though they are psulim that happen in Kodoshim, nevertheless, if they end up in the Mizbeach, you take them back down. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ola, Ein Li Ela Ola, Sheira. I only know that an Ola that ends up on the Mizbeach stays. Minad Rabot. How do I know to include? Now these are the items that Rabbi Yehuda says do not go on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says does go on the Mizbeach. Shenishchata B'Layla, Shenishbach Dama, Sheyada Dama Chutz L'Klaim. Three items that Rabbi Yehuda says come down. Rabbi Shimon says they stay on the Mizbeach. Now, Rabbi Shimon now includes a number of other psulim that will stay on the Mizbeach. The remaining items, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to. Not for the reason of Rabbi Shimon, but for another reason. We'll explain that in 1 second, which is, Halan. When we're talking about lan over here that was left overnight, we're talking about dam. Dam that was left overnight, and then was done, the Zvika dam was done later, and the korban was placed on the Mizbeach. Veha Yotzei. Yotzei, according to Rashi, is like Basar Ola, that was supposed to end up on the Mizbeach, left the Azara, now it's brought back in, and goes up on the Mizbeach. Veha Tamei. Or something that became Tamei, Vanotar, or something that was left over. Rashi claims the notar here is talking about basar, leftover basar that was past the time that it was supposed to be put on the mizbeach and then ends up on the mizbeach. Tosafot claims the notar here is emurim of the korban because basar doesn't end up on the mizbeach. Rashi can solve that problem because in the previous case when he talked about yotzei, he talked about basar ola. So over here he could also be talking about the notar of basar ola because every part of the ola ends up on the mizbeach. The basar we're speaking about here could be the basar ola. Shechat chutz lizmano, someone who does shechita with a machshava of chutz lizmano, meaning pigol. That pigol, if it ends up on the Mizbeach, v'chutz l'mkomor, he has a machshava to eat it outside of the confines in which it's permitted to be eaten. Ushikiblo psulim, or kabbalat adam happened with psulim. Rashi claims over here the psulim are even at balmom, or any other pasul. Tosafot talks about here whether that's true for everyone. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's certainly only if somebody who's tamei. For instance, a kohen that's tamei. We'll see in a second why. For Rabbi Shimon, he's unclear as to whether it's only someone who is tamei, or even someone who's pasul bim mum. Bezarku et damo, and then afterwards they sprinkled the blood on Mizbeach. Ve'anitanim l'malo shenitan l'mata. Blood that was supposed to be put on the upper half of the Mizbeach that was put below, for instance, chadat, whose blood is supposed to be above the chutat sikra on the upper, on the karnot of Mizbeach, instead it was placed below. Or anitanim l'mata, blood that was supposed to be below, like an ola, behema, that's supposed to be below the chutat sikra, shenitan l'malo, was placed above the chutat sikra. Ve'anitanim b'chut shenitan bifnim. That means it was supposed to be on the Mizbeach its own, and then instead got put on the Mizbeach apnimi. But it's named bifnim, or blood that was on the Mizbeach apnimi, shenadan b'chutz got put on the outer Mizbeach. Ve'apesach v'chatat sheshaftan shelo lishman. Or a Pesach chatat, which are the only two korbanot where lishma is me'akev. If you did shelo lishma, the korban is pasul. All other korbanot, they are not ole lebalim, but they're still kashir to go on the Mizbeach. Here they're pasul legamrei. Minayin, how do I know that if any of these items end up in the Mizbeach, that they remain on the Mizbeach lo terei? Anything that ends up in Mizbeach has the same din, which is that it remains on the Mizbeach. Now that's the limud of Rabbi Shimon. In that limud, he also includes the three things that Rabbi Yehuda said come down, Rabbi Shimon says they stay on. I mentioned before that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the remaining items that Rabbi Shimon lists here, and that is not for the reason of Rabbi Shimon of the limud from the Pasuk, but rather the Gemara in Zvachim explains to us that Rabbi Yehuda believes that anything that is a hekdesh somewhere else in hekdesh, that item will not make it pasul so much that it has to come off the Mizbeach. Just give an example, for instance, psulim. The psulim that did Kabbalat Adam, we said before, according to Yehuda, it can only be if it's Tmeim. Tmeim that do Kabbalat Adam, in general, that is Pasul. But there's an instance, by Korbanot HaTzibur, we have Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, if Tmeim do it, it would be Kasher. So since we have a manifestation in Kodesh where they are Ksherim, therefore even when they are Psulim, if it ends up in his back, we don't bring it down. And the same is true with all these other items here. Rabbi Yehuda finds instances, whether it's with a Bama, or whether it's with Basar, or other aspects of Kodesh, where these items are Ksherim, and therefore, when they end up on the Mizbeach, when they are Psulim, we don't bring them down. His three exceptions are the ones that he has from the three Mi'utim, from the Pasuk. Those vote over here deal as well. Those also have exclusions or times in Kodesh when they are permitted. And so Tosfot describes what the difference is between these and the others. These have multiple problems associated with them. I suppose the others that may only have a singular problem associated with them. So Biyuda believes that Nishchata b'layla, Nishpach dama, and Sheyatza dama chutz le'klayim, all of those are psulim. If they go on the Mizbeach, they come down. Rabbi Shimon says, those stay on the Mizbeach, even if they are psulim. If they go on the Mizbeach, they stay on the Mizbeach. In addition to that, we had a list here of psulim that both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree, if they end up in the Mizbeach, lo tevi, they don't come down. But Rabbi Shimon also has his exceptions, and Rabbi Yehuda does agree to these exceptions as well, which are Yochol Shani Mirabetaro Veyavaneir Bava Muksevane Vadvet Naru Mechir Bekilaim Vetreifa Beyotzei Dofen. I would think that even these items that are psula go on the Mizbeach. For instance, Roveya Nirba Bestiality, whether they were the active or passive partner. Vamuksis, something that is designated for Tikrovet Avodah Zarah. Vaneva, something that was worshipped at Avodah Zarah. In both these cases, we're talking about Kodshim Kalim, according to Biosi, who believes that Kodshim Kalim are Mamon Balim. Therefore, they have the ability to be posel these items through, making them Avodah Zarah. Because if not, it's not relevant. It doesn't belong to them. They can't answer something that doesn't belong to them. Vetnan, something that was given as compensation or exchange to a harlot. Vamechir, something that was sold in exchange for a dog. Vekilayim, a mixed breed. Vahatrefa, something that's a trefa. Vayotze dofen, and something that came through a cesarean section. I would think that these psulim, just like the others, if they end up in the Mizbeach, they shouldn't come down. Tamalomar, zot, that's a miut. So I have a riboy of Torah, and I have a miut of zot. So here we exclude these from Zot, and I include those from the Riboy of Torah. Gemara is going to ask right away, how do you know which to go in which category? And it's going to give us a definition. The one thing I want to point out is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who agrees with Rabbi Shimon that these items don't go on the Mizbeach, he doesn't have a miut for that. So Tosafot, on the previous Amud, says that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe of the three miutim, they'll use one of them to exclude Roveya Nirba, Nishchata B'Layla, and Yatzad Dama, that he'll take both of those out of a single miut, because they're of very similar nature, and then have an extra miut to exclude all those things that Rabbi Shimon mentions over here, because otherwise we don't know where Rabbi Yehuda excludes these items from. So Gemara says, "Umar ra'ita rabot etelu utziat elu." Well, how do you know to include these that stay on the Mizbeach, and exclude those that don't stay on the Mizbeach? They're all psulim. So why is one psul different than the other psul? So achar sheribaka du umiyet. So after the pasuk has an inclusion, has an exclusion, how do you know to distribute it? So I say, Mirabbeani et elu shaya psulan bekodesh. I will include those things that are pasul bekodesh. They'll be in the riboy and stay on the Mizbeach. And those maltziani et elu shaloya psulan bekodesh. On the other hand, those items where the psul is not in the kodesh, they will be excluded and they'll be part of the miut. And if they go on the Mizbeach, they will come down. What does that mean, psulan bekodesh or sheim psulan bekodesh? Rashi defines it as sheachar balu azara yiru psulan. That what it means, psulan bekodesh means only the psul only happened after they came to the azara. So after they came to Azara, you have the psul. But if it happened before you came to Azara, then that's not something that is psul ba'kodesh. Tosafot here and many other places in Shas argues on Rashi's definition. He first says, she'im psulam yecholiot ad shachar shugdash. He says maybe the definition is only something that's psul after it became kodesh, similar to what Rashi is saying over here, until it comes to the Azara, that only after it's kodesh the psul happens, not prior to becoming kodesh. Then Tosafot for reasons rejects that explanation and says that the explanation of psulo bekodesh is farish dehecha deyotze bo kasher b'makom acher kari psulo bekodesh. If there's another instance in kodesh where we override this psul, then that's called psulo bekodesh. It's somewhere else in kodesh, similar to what Rabbi Yehuda did before, and he says I can find a manifestation in kodesh of this. Therefore, it stays in the mizbeach. That'll be the definition for Rabbi Shimon. If I can find somewhere else in kodesh where this item is okay, that means psulo bekodesh. The psul here is all generated by the circumstance in which it's found in Kodesh right now. And therefore, it stays on the Mizbeach. As opposed to Roveya, Nirba, Mechir, Kilayim, Yotzei Dofen, and those are items that are always psulim, no matter what, no matter which manifestation in Kodesh, they are never good. since they are never good in Kodesh, that's Kunsol, She'im Psulo B'Kodesh. So here you have the definition of Rashi and the definition of Tosafot as to what Psulo B'Kodesh, She'im Psulo B'Kodesh means. We're going to stop over here. You can see clearly what the proof is from the Braita is that in the list of items that Rabbi Shimon says that if they go on the Mizbeach, they must come down, is Yotzei Dofen. So you see here by Kodeshim, Yotzei Dofen is not a kosher korban. Rabbi Shimon says that even if you put it on the Mizbeach, it has to come back down because it's so pasul. This is a Braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position that Rabbi Shimon believes by Kodeshim, Yotzei Dofen is problematic, not like by the Leidah V'Isha. Okay, we'll stop over here.